Will, with your defense this year, considering there's so much unknown, will you be married to one scheme that you want them to do, or will you adjust to what they can do well as the season goes on?
Adjust to what they can do well, David. I think I talked about the who and the what. The what is what can they do? All right, so it makes no sense that even though D.J. Smith is an experienced player and has been in our system for 2 years, he might be working with a linebacker or another defensive back that's playing in his first year and maybe can't handle the volume of things that we do. So it's not about what we've done before, what our scheme is, what we think we need to be. It's about what can our players do. And that's the constant question that T-Rob and our defensive staff is going to get tired of me asking throughout fall camp. That's fine. That's a wonderful scheme, and we really like it, but can we execute that on September 2nd? And that's going to be the key, because there's going to be some fresh faces in there that maybe we haven't seen. And then the who is making great decisions on in a short period of time. You're talking about 11 practices, and I'm not saying that that's the only day, but I'm saying that's the first real decision day. Well, we got to say, okay, this guy, game four, is going to be a really good football player, and we need to coach and develop this guy as hard as we can. Not that we're not doing that for the whole team, but we really got to concentrate and saturate this guy as best we can. And those are decisions you've got to make, and you're projecting sometimes 4 and 5 weeks out before, because it's not about game one. It's a long season. We got to get ready for the season.
Let's go right side here, second row on the aisle.
Will, what will you carry from Florida days in year two at South Carolina where you go, okay, I won't do that. I need to, you know, do something different or I will do that because that did work, you know, as you built the program down there.
Well, I think that you live and learn in the good and bad. And as I equated in the big room, I think it's kind of like playing as a freshman or a rookie. The game starts to slow down. And really, being a head coach, as far as that's concerned, has nothing to do with the game. It has to do with all the other stuff and all the management of the staff, the management of the players, the team, the management of the organization, the management of campus, public relations, recruiting. I mean, all the different things that you do. And certainly, you learn from those experiences and you say, you know, this is something we did extremely well. And we did a lot of things very well. And there's some things, obviously, would you like to have changed? Sure. You know, to sit here and say, boy, I do the same thing. I do exactly the same thing again. You know what happened? You get fired again. At the end of the day, I hear these coaches say, I'd do the same thing again. Well, you probably get canned, you know. So I don't think I do everything the same, you know.
Also on the right side, second row against the wall.
Coach, I have two questions. The first one is, I was talking to Coach McElwain about this the other day. What is it going to take for the East to catch up to the West? You're recruiting the same players. You have great coaches. What is it? Is it cyclical, or what is it going to take for the East to kind of come back around?
Well, I don't know that we're trying to catch up to the West. I think we're all trying to catch up to Alabama. So I don't agree with that assumption there. Other than we're trying to catch up to Alabama, and they're good.
Yeah.
And Nick's done a fantastic job.
And the second question is, you've been a very successful coordinator. You've been a head coach. What's been the most amazing part of being a head coach, making that leap from being a coordinator to a head coach?
Well, I think the you're touching everything in the program and being a part of the relationship you have with offensive players. You're building relationships through all those people, and you're touching a lot more lives, and that's something that I enjoy and positively trying to affect a young man.
Left side here, front row.
Coach Dan Matthews, GridironNow.com. Two questions for me as well. Number one, what's made you trust a 19-year-old with your program and Jake Bentley? And then number two, why did you feel the need to call your organization soft?
Well, I think number one with Jake, I saw him, his work ethic. I saw that he's obviously mature beyond his years. Sometimes 19 years old is a little bit more mature than maybe some other 19-year-olds, which I saw. I saw a guy that had a tremendous work ethic and continued to improve. I mean, what he did on the field at practice matters. And what he did on the field at practice, I thought, we need to give this guy a shot and an opportunity. No different than any other position. The guy's playing defensive end and he starts practicing really well. Maybe we need to give this guy an opportunity. And what we were doing wasn't working. So we needed to make a change. And then as far as our organization is concerned, the inability to run the ball against good people and the inability to stop the run versus good people, to me, goes back to toughness. Because it's a three technique, you got to be able to stick your face in the fan versus a 700-pound double team. And if you're tough enough to do it and hang in there, that's toughness. You know, if you're tough enough to get on a double team and go finish somebody and knock them into the second level as an offensive lineman. We didn't do that against good people. That's called soft.
Left side here, front row as well.
Coach, what type of player in person is Brett Bielema getting in David Williams? And then will it be odd seeing him on the other sideline when you play Arkansas?
Well, David's a fine young man. He's did everything right and had no issues with violation or nothing. I mean, he did everything we asked him to do. I didn't want David to leave. He came to me in January, and he wanted a fresh start for his senior year. And I understood what he wanted. And he originally was going to go to Connecticut. And Brett and Jeff Long grabbed me and Destin and said, is there any way you'd release him within the league? And obviously we play them this year. And I'm not going to hold back that situation. That young man wasn't going to be on our team. I'm not going to penalize him if that's something he wanted to do. He did everything we asked him to do. So he is a very good football player, and certainly wish him the best, except for in one game.
Let's go to the right side here, third row against the wall.
Thank you, Zach. Matt Coulter, Marble City Media. Coach, I ask this somewhat candidly because you're an emotional guy. We all know that. But there are plans in college football now to really enforce the box and get on the field, particularly to argue unsportsmanlike conduct calls. How concerned are you about that, and who's your holdback guy?
Why would you be asking me that question?
Because I've watched you coach.
We do have a get-back coach. I think Coach Tanner's going to put another one on payroll. He's allowed to tackle. I've really worked on my groin flexibility because technically the rule, I think I found a loophole here. It's got to be both feet out of the white. So I'm working on like my first base stride a little bit so I can keep one in the white and one on the field to be able to do that. No, but it's a rule. You got to follow the rule. And certainly, got to follow the rules. That's what we'll plan on doing. I've never gotten a 15-yard penalty regardless of what CBS said. You know, they tried to blame a 15-yard penalty of me when I was at Auburn. And that wasn't on me. You can ask Steve Shaw. I was on the Auburn sideline. All right, so it's never said Will Muschamp. So regardless of what CBS says, it wasn't true. So I the difference in perception and reality in life is amazing to me. You know, this perception that sometimes not you, but several other people sometimes create, is not always the reality of what it is. I thought I'd get that off my chest.
Let's go left side here, second row, Chris.
Chris Walsh from SEC Country. Whenever Nick is facing one of his old guys, we always hear from the rest of you, you know, we're Switzerland. But is it a little different this year with Jimbo getting a shot at him in the opener?
Well, I think Jimbo's got a really good football team. And talking to him recently, and obviously feel good about DeAndre Francois coming back as a quarterback and the experience he had last year. He's recruited extremely well and obviously done a fantastic job at Florida State. So. It ought to be a heck of a game, but I've got my hands full in Charlotte, so I'm not too worried about it.
Left side here, third row.
Coach, 5 years into the SEC, I'm curious what your perception is on the Missouri Tigers and thoughts on them for the upcoming season.
Well, they've played, two times in the East, one in the Eastern Division and playing Atlanta. That's really good odds. It's better than anyone else in the last 5 years from the Eastern Division. So I guess other than Florida. So I think they've done a fantastic job. Obviously, the academic reputation at Missouri certainly helps our look a little bit as a conference, in my opinion. They've got a great tradition in basketball as well. And so, but I think they've been a good addition to our league.
Fortunately, I think we only have time for one last question. Let's go in the middle here on the camera.
Hi, Coach. Molly Walsh with the Tuscaloosa News. We're working on a project called Should My Kid Play High School Football? So if a parent came to you and asked you that specific question, what would you have to say to them and why?
Absolutely. Both of my sons play football. My oldest son, Jackson, is 15. He'll turn 16 in September. He'll be a sophomore. And my young son, Whit, just turned 12. going in sixth grade. I didn't allow Jackson to play till he was in seventh grade, and I felt like that I wanted to make sure the right coach, because football is a hard, tough game. You got to make it fun for the kids. And I wanted to make sure he got in the right situation that taught the right fundamentals of how to tackle, how to block, all of those things that are extremely important. I actually let Whit play a little younger because he played for a friend of our family's, Mark McGriff, down in Gainesville, Florida. And Mark certainly understands and knows the fundamentals of the game. But it's an unbelievable game. It's the ultimate team sport. You can learn so much from this game. As far as the team setting, that it is extremely important, in my opinion, in your development as a young man. It teaches you about adversity, about toughness, and I would encourage anyone to play the game.